everybody. This is Diane from Alaska.
Hey, it's Todd in Los Angeles.
And you're here for another episode, finally, of This Conversation Rocks. And this week it's, for the love of God, don't glue your vagina together.
Oh, yeah, the glue episode.
Also known as the War on Women Part 2.
Oh, my God. You know, I just... Wow, we'll get into it, but where do we want to start? It's been quite a month for the Trump administration.
Yeah, you know, just a quick little update. So hello to everybody. Todd's been super busy because he's like this killer businessman, unlike our president. And I had a wee little bit of abdominal surgery, so I've been down, but we're both well.
I like how you say that, a wee little.
Well, you know. I can do that because I'm a nurse practitioner, so it's easy for me to minimize shit.
That's right.
Although, cosmically, and this is already totally... Well, it's kind of not departing, actually, because I think this is a woman thing. So, I remember waking up in the recovery room, moaning in pain, and then apologizing for being in pain. And I thought, what kind of fucked up world do I live in that I have to apologize for being in pain after having surgery? What is wrong with my brain that I think that? And then I kind of went on a little feminist tirade in my heart and was like, because women are accustomed and acculturated to apologize for everything.
Yep.
So yep. There you
go. And you're sorry about that too.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm apologizing.
It's a no-win situation. It truly is.
I mean, know.
So yeah, that plus, and we will get into this, but this guy's concept on gluing your vagina together, just the general craziness of everything. Yeah, we thought it was time to have yet another War on Women episode.
and you know, I was thinking we could include not just the War on Women, which is ever present, but also trans people, kids. I mean, there's been so much stuff that's happened over the last month of the Trump administration that
the immigrants, the
it's
poor,
a war on everybody.
Yeah, a war on everybody who's not white and filthy rich.
Yeah,
or is also not a Russian spy holding a copy of the PP tape,
or Vladimir himself.
Oh my God! Right. See, I think more than anything, I think the reason that Trump has such a hard-on for Vladimir is that Vladimir gets away with whatever he wants. He's just jealous.
Right, because Vladimir kills whoever disagrees with him.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not good. But hey. All right. So
did we want to talk about the chiropractor from Kansas first?
Oh, I guess we might as well
Or do we want to save him for last?
We're gonna do what they do on all those really bad television shows, and we'll get to that right after this next break. So yeah, we'll put that off for a little bit. Let's talk about cabinet members and former cabinet members and
right, already former cabinet members and cabinet members who didn't quite make it.
Oh, so are you following this thing? And it's kind of confusing even to me as to what exactly the Trump administration is doing now vis-a-vis the FBI with regards to the allegations regarding Russia that ultimately were what sunk Flynn.
So my understanding is that they are telling the press to back off.
Well, of course, the administration is telling them that every chance they get.
Right.
But what's interesting is that they directly went to the FBI, circumventing the DOJ, in an act that's not illegal, but is definitely not acceptable from all previous administrations.
Right.
Trying to get the FBI to say, oh, yeah, the reports about Flynn are completely overblown, and our involvement with the Russians is completely overblown, to which that doesn't seem like it is overblown.
Well, you know, I think the conversation around if you're pushing that hard to hide something, you've got something to hide is pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to tinfoil hat this too much, right? Because this just gets really weird in a hurry. But I think there's some smoke here.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing is that, you know, I know that the Trump administration has come out. Oh, God, I can't believe I just said those two words together. Trump administration. Ugh! But they have come out against anonymous sources. I think it's interesting that they have come out against anonymous sources when there are, what, at this point, 17 anonymous sources cited by the intelligence community that have said there is absolute credibility to the allegations that he was in cahoots with Russia.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, especially you especially are against anonymous sources when they're making you look bad.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I'm not for anonymous sources because, you know, I want to know who's actually, you know, stuffing a knife in somebody's back. However, having said that, sometimes when there is smoke, there is fire.
And sometimes, you know, that's the only way the information is going to break. They may become right. not Watergate. Anonymous eventually.
Right. Watergate.
Yeah. But
so we got that. It looks like the spokeswoman that they had, Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah.
It looks like she's out.
I don't know that she's permanently out, but she has certainly been shushed for a little bit. And I have to say, it's nice not seeing her screeching face constantly on the Sunday morning shows.
Right. Well, because she's an idiot.
She is.
And she was talking nonsense.
Yes.
And she went on MSNBC Morning Joe, right, a few weeks ago, and Joe was like, "You are talking nonsense."
And you know, if Joe says to another Republican, "You're talking nonsense," it's got to be really bad. I mean, really, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Joe is not, he's not some liberal, lefty, pinko commie, you know.
Like us.
Right. He's legitimately somewhat conservative guy who has a belief system that includes the Republican Party. Yeah, and yeah, he thinks she's an idiot and won't have her back on the show because she is clearly not in the know, I believe is the quote.
But let's be honest, look at what they trotted out in the place of Kellyanne Conway. That guy Stephen Miller?
Not sure that I've caught his act yet.
Oh,
okay.
Holy shit, Louise. Stephen Miller is the guy who went on the Sunday shows the week after Kellyanne embarrassed herself. And he basically, I don't have the exact context, but he was talking about executive orders and people questioning Donald Trump and about the judiciary.
Oh, right.
And he's the guy who said, "And we will not be questioned."
Yeah.
And this guy he's from Southern Cal, right? And he has been a racist since like high school.
Yeah, he's... Unfortunately, he's from Santa Monica. Well, fuck it. No, he's from Santa Monica. They can have him.
It can happen to anybody. Look where I live, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not a huge Santa Monica fan.
But, you know, so here's this 30-some-year-old guy who is telling all of us, every single one of us, regardless of your political stripes, we will not be questioned.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, well...
So, I mean, we can cackle about Kellyanne Conway and it doesn't break my heart that she's gone, but the other thing is what they have replaced her with is so much more frightening. Although I do have to say, seeing her shill for Ivanka, that was disgusting. And seeing that the that attorneys who are members of the Washington Bar have brought... I don't know that charges is the right word, but they have brought an ethical complaint against her with the Washington, D.C. Bar...
Yeah.
That's somewhat heartening.
No, it is, right? And she deserves that.
Absolutely.
So, Stephen Miller apparently was part of Jeff Sessions' staff.
That's right. I remember that now.
Top aide to Mr. Sessions. How does a white kid from Santa Monica end up being the top aide to a conservative Alabama senator?
Well, my immediate response, which is not very polite, is sucking the appropriate dicks.
Yeah. exactly, right? You know.
I want to know how a janky little white kid from Santa Monica turned into such a monster.
Oh, God. Well, Santa Monica. No. Not fair to Santa Monica. Spoken as an Angeleno, but that's not fair. No, I mean, so this is interesting, right? A man whose emails who were until recently considered spam by many of his Republican peers. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, he's in line with, you know, having Bannon in there.
Right. And I think that he is somehow affiliated with Bannon outside of the Trump administration too. I don't remember exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so and we haven't even really gotten to the cabinet yet.
Right. So yeah, what a goat rope that is, but I mean, I'm watching Tillerson, of course, doesn't appear to be on the same page.
And he doesn't appear quite yet to be such a horrific monster, but give him time. He certainly does not reach at this point, he has not reached the terrifying level that someone like Scott Pruitt or Betsy DeVos has.
Right. But on the other hand, right, was it Tillerson who quickly started laying off people at the State Department?
I honestly can't say that was in my wheelhouse.
That was like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty sure it was him, but I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, Mr. Secretary, please feel free to email us at thisconversationrocks and fix that for us, please. Please do. In fact, actually, please come on our show and talk to us about...
Oh my God, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
We would have to have Lisa, our eco-warrior friend, on. My eco-warrior friend. You haven't met yet, but...
Yeah. No, the Trump administration's first month has largely benched the State Department from its longstanding role as the preeminent voice of U.S. foreign policy, curtailing public engagement and official travel, and relegating Secretary of State to mostly offstage.
Well, and so here's the other thing. It seems like Mattis is not in the same wheelhouse as Trump either, at least not on radical Islam, as Donald Trump would like us to call it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and again, just in case anybody's questioning that, in Donald Trump's mind, Islam equals radical Islam. In fact, actually anything that's probably not, you know, white Yankee Christianity.
Right.
Is radical Islam.
I'm studying with a Buddhist. I would probably qualify as a radical Islamist. So.
No, absolutely. Especially because you have a vagina that's not glued together.
Right. But we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, after this break. We'll get right to that. No, and then the thing with Tillerson, what was really surprising was he wanted to pick Elliot Abrams as his undersecretary.
And now you're going to have to enlighten me because I don't know who Elliot Abrams is.
He is a longtime State Department veteran and longtime Republican foreign policy hand, right?
But in and out of it. In a much more traditional mode, I'm assuming.
Right. Right, but Trump personally rejected Abrams after learning that the former Bush administration official had the audacity to criticize Trump during the campaign.
Have his favorite ass suckers, Ryan and McConnell.
Yeah, so I mean, again, you know, the pettiness of Trump is there way over whether or not this person would be good for the post, which in the case of Abrams, actually... think he would be okay. I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but you know.
Right. I mean, it actually sounds like there have been a couple of semi-reasonable reaches, like quote Mad Dog Mattis is turning out to be a little bit surprising in a good way. So it's not completely unthought of that he could stumble and pick someone halfway decent.
Right, but the fact that he won't let his people then do their jobs,
right,
and pick the people they need because of his own pettiness, right, just because somebody's something nasty about him. You know, I mean, again, you're the president of the goddamn United States. If you feel petty slights, you're just a fucking moron.
Well, and how much time does he waste micromanaging stuff that should now be appropriately turfed to the people who are beneath him in the power structure?
Right, right. Well, that goes to his whole, you know, his legendary management style.
Right.
And his ability to absolutely understand any issue at 4 a.m. in the morning and tweet about it.
And better than anyone else, I might add.
Oh my God.
Better than the generals.
So also, speaking of foreign policy, right, of course, Trump refused to commit on two-party, one-state thing.
Right. I like what both sides like. Really, because both sides aren't really in agreement.
Both sides are for a one-party solution, which involves the elimination of the other side, sir.
Right.
And to be honest, I might be able to get behind that solution, but Israel does not want to hear that.
Well, and so, but here's the other thing that's interesting that I think went along with that is that, okay, I'm going to bring up the guy on Facebook now. So yes. I was telling Todd before we signed on that I have been watching a friend of mine, if you're out there listening, bless your heart, diligently and kindly but very firmly, I don't even want to say argue, refute what a friend of his is saying about Donald Trump. And his friend just refuses to hear anything negative. I actually piped up in the conversation and said, you know, this conversation is concerning me because I feel like you see the world so differently that I will never, ever, ever be able to see the world the same way you do, and that we're not going to be able to come to any place of reconciliation. And he immediately said, oh, well, I'm so great, I'm so open-minded, and I totally will listen to anything you have to say. And then every time he's responded to somebody, including this friend, who is a fellow podcaster, he's just completely refuted. And not just doubled down, but like threefold refuted everything. Even if there's links that show it and that prove it. And I'm like, what proof do you need?
Well,
I don't know why I went off on this rant. You were talking about...
No, but I'll just talk about that for a second, which is simply that, I mean, when we've gotten so ideological that proof cannot be provided, I mean, then we've got real problems.
Oh, okay, yeah, now I remember what it is. So the reason I got off on this rant is that I was thinking, you know, someone actually presented a very nice list of things saying, these are the episodes of racism that I see in the Trump administration already. And he brought up the fact that on Holocaust Remembrance Day, Donald Trump's administration could not even say that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust.
Yeah, they were having a hard time remembering, yes.
Right. And so it just amazes me that someone can have things like that put in front of him, documented on the record from the press release that the administration itself did, and still can't see that as evidence of racism or bigotry or prejudice. It's pretty stunning.
Well, so here's the counter argument about, nah, never mind. There's no counter argument.
They think there's
a spot I want to get to, but not here.
They think we don't see. They think we're crazy.
And we don't see, though. And we are crazy. But we can admit that. I mean, you know, there is absolute truth to the fact that if the Republicans say, I want to do something, I'm like, wait a second, we probably shouldn't do that.
Right. I have to admit, there's some truth there.
If the Dems said the same thing, I might go, hey, maybe we should talk about this. So, I mean, I'm fully aware of my own flaws in this. But I will say that...
What?
For a country that we purportedly support so much, man, Israel's got to be kind of confused at the moment.
Right. No,
especially after Pence managed to tweet out
the Nicaraguan flag.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Pence was making some tweet about Israel, blah blah blah, and attached what. Whoever did it, that's what they believe to be
the Israeli flag.
Israeli flag. In fact, it's the Nicaraguan flag. And I suppose they're kind of close from a small enough picture.
It's kind of like, that whole Star of David thing that they missed.
Yeah. Maybe if you're getting it off of your Twitter account, maybe it is that small. I don't know. But anyway, just kind of funny.
If you're listening to this and curious, it might behoove you to go compare the two flags side by side and see if you can see the difference.
Well, here's the point I wanted to get to, though, right? Like, everybody's going to beat them up on this stuff, and I'm joining in on it. But it occurs to me, this is a minor mistake, right? I mean, if you're Israel, maybe it's not a minor mistake. You know, you feel that the vice president doesn't know the difference between you and Nicaragua, and,
right.
And, you know, you'd be concerned. You know, I'm not saying otherwise, but here's the thing. we need to stay the course on actually smacking these idiots around for really serious shit. Because every time we smack them around, and I'm as guilty as anybody, because I know, but I know this, every time we smack them around for stupid shit, people just go, oh, it was just a mistake. It was not just a mistake. Why are you being an asshole?
Well, you know, and I think this is a good point, and I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but I read a news, a journalist description of the first month of the Trump administration as being drinking from a fire hose. And it's true. When you've got something coming at you that fast under that much pressure, you're reacting to everything. So you're right. I mean, we have to react to the big stuff. But now, sometimes it's hard to figure out what the big stuff is. I'm going to be honest. I get overwhelmed.
Right. Now, I mean, some of the bigger stuff is, like, he's tweeting right now, you know, his current round of tweets are about how great, you know, how great an impact he's made in the last, in the first month or whatever, right? And, of course, all of his numbers are lies.
Right, because they're all Obama's numbers.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, we need to hold him accountable for that kind of shit. And here's the thing. I'm just looking at another thing that's really kind of hilarious, right? Apparently, the New York Times incorrectly reported Sean Spicer's birthplace, and he went the fuck off, right? And it's like, fuck you. You don't have the right to go the fuck off, you birther motherfuckers.
Right. But, not only that, but again, the flag, right? Yeah.
But going further, but spending more any more time on it than that comment really is getting us away from the important part. And people are like, well, but Todd, you seem to be struggling finding the important parts. It's like, yes, because if you go to Google, there's 10 million things that just went wrong last week.
Right. No, I think it was John Oliver who was saying, you know, you get to the point where you're grateful that your phone isn't giving you a news notification. You know, and every time I hear my phone go, I'm like, oh, God, what now?
Oh, my God. Right. Yeah. I mean, I literally have turned all that shit off on my phone because I'm trying to work and not be angry all the time. Right. It's awful, man. It's awful.
You know, I have to really I want to say some things about the cabinet, but I have to agree with the whole not trying not to be angry all of the time. I mean, one of the things that you and I also talked about before we logged on was just the whole idea of staying away from social media. You haven't been on Facebook, but maybe once or twice in almost 6 months. And you don't miss it. And I envy that. I mean, I was telling you that I think I definitely rely on Facebook for connection more than you do. And there have definitely been days lately where I have thought, if not for so-and-so and so-and-so with whom I would not have a connection, if not for Facebook, I would just trash this whole thing. Because every time I get on, I get so upset.
Oh, my God.
And so... Okay. I just really limit the time that I spend there.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay, cabinet.
Okay.
So Ben Carson. Oh, that was right. Ben Carson, right? Same thing happened to Carson the other day. One of his top aides from his campaign had said something nasty about Mr. Trump, and so he is not allowed to have a spot in Carson's HUD administration.
Really?
Yeah.
I find it so interesting that these guys are willing to compromise themselves like this.
Yeah, I mean, it is all about petty revenge.
But I find it interesting that, you know, and I'm not saying I had any great faith in just about anyone running on the Republican ticket or trying to get on the Republican ticket, but...
And Carson certainly was not somebody who...
Definitely not. Although he might have been a little less scary than Donald Trump, quite honestly. But I'm just amazed that they are willing to prostitute themselves like this. You know, that all of a sudden Speaker Ryan is thrilled to be working closely with the Trump administration, and Marco Rubio is shutting up and sitting down, and even Lindsey McCain and John... Or Lindsey McCain. Oh, that was creepy. Lindsey Graham and John McCain, you know, they have their little spasms every now and then where they'll say something meaningful. But for the most part, they're rolling over too. And it's just, I'm just amazed to watch so many public figures commit suicide, political suicide, by embracing this.
But it's not political suicide with the numbers of people that still that support him.
Yet.
And the way that it all breaks down.
Although, did you see, and I wanted to make sure I brought this up, that the Democrats had a tremendous victory in the state Senate in Delaware this week. There was just a special election this week, at the end of this week, and basically this senatorial seat made the difference in terms of the balance in the state legislature in Delaware, and it was just a blowout for the Dem. And she had volunteers and she had people coming out of the woodwork. I mean, there are people who said that they've never seen this level of interest and support and volunteerism in a state campaign before.
Which is great, but unless that continues.
I think it might. I mean, I think is, and this goes back to something that we've talked about from the very first days after the election. As long as we don't get exhausted by the outrage machine. And, I mean, I'm exhausted by the outrage machine already. I have to really regroup and figure out what the hell I'm doing with my energy, because it's hard.
Yeah.
But I think we need to keep it going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do need to keep it going. The midterms are not looking good.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But it's early.
Early. It's early. Okay, so.
Okay, so I want to say a couple of things about our incredibly swampy, disgusting cabinet. So first of all, Betsy DeVos is just nauseating, and she actually joked this week about school lunch funding, about how there really is no such thing as a free lunch. And I know that seems really small to people, but as someone who grew up at times really, our family really struggled for money. And as someone who has friends who grew up with tremendous food insecurity, and some of them who still have a lot of food insecurity, it makes me sick to hear about the Secretary of Education joking about free lunches, about school lunches. And there's actually a bill in the House right now where they've introduced the concept of seriously reducing the free hot lunch program. And I have friends on all sides of the spectrum who are teachers who are saying, this is the only meal that some of these kids get in a day.
Oh yeah.
You know, so we've got this. I mean, we joke about the war on women, and we joke about the gluing the labia shut together, which we will get to. But I mean, I think it's just a demonstration of this administration's pattern of harassment of people who are weaker, or people who are minorities, or people who are vulnerable. And they're taking food away from kids. They're talking about taking food away from kids.
Yeah, which is interesting, by the way, because I'm just looking, and this just goes also back to the fact that we got a bunch of guys in the cabinet position who don't know what the fuck they are even responsible for, because, quote, the National School Lunch Program and National School Breakfast Program are under the authority of the U.S. Department of Ag, not the Education Department.
Right.
So, why is she even talking about this shit?
Because she's an entitled billionaire who comes from a family of billionaires who's never experienced any kind of food or economic insecurity in her life.
But she has the best private security money can fuck.
Right. Courtesy of her brother, right?
No, it's her husband.
Oh, I thought that her brother was Eric Prince from Blackwater.
No, that's her husband.
Oh, are you sure?
Well,
hit the Google machine, man.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's her brother. Anyway, and, you know, while we're on the cabinet and the atrocities.
Oh, you're right. It is. I don't know why I thought it was her husband. So, I really do apologize for making that incest joke.
Because, well, see, we are not above a lot. We are above incest jokes.
Well, at least when they're incorrect.
Right.
No, I mean, yeah, seriously, it's like, wow, okay, you know, see, proof, right? I was wrong. I'm admitting it. Yeah, I can take that. Let me walk that back. I fucked up. In fact, actually, I'm not even walking it back, right? Let me extend and revise my comments. I fucked up. Here we go. Apologies to Mr. Prince and Ms. DeVos. I still hate both of you, but that was incorrect on my part.
So, you know, that freaked me out. And then I've got to say, and I know that Jeff Sessions is not directly involved with this, but if he is not already, he will be. the fact that we are now having these immigration raids, these ICE raids all over the country, and we're doing things like, and this is documented, taking a female refugee out of her hospital bed when she is being treated for a brain tumor and putting her back in detention. When we're doing shit like that, we're doing shit wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we're going to hire 15,000 more.
10,000, but yeah.
Oh, is it 10? I thought it was 15. See,
no,
again,
but...
facts.
Facts are stupid things. Remember when Reagan said that?
The Reagan years.
Yeah, who thought we would long for those?
God, how I miss you.
So, you know, and I mean Scott Pruitt, who got installed in his office before we had the release of something like 3,000 emails between him and oil companies when he was the AG of Oklahoma, and when he was actively suing the EPA. You know, we've got Steve Bannon at CPAC this week saying that this cabinet was put together to deconstruct the system. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It's just, it's horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess, you know, and we mentioned this and I've kind of touched on it, but really the place where I see this linking to the story about the chiropractor in Kansas with the menstrual product, this man's misogyny and gynophobia is a direct correlation to what's going on in our country right now. I mean, there's so much fear of people who are different, of people who menstruate, of people who use a bathroom that's different than the gender that is on their birth certificate. There's so much fear right now, and there's so much hate.
Yeah, no kidding. Because this is worth mentioning again, too, the fact that one of the first things that, you know, Trump did, of course, was rescind the executive orders for allowing transgender youth to use the bathroom of their choice.
Right.
You know.
And I know our listeners are on it, so I know they know who Gavin Grimm is, but just in case, check out the ACLU's support of Gavin Grimm, who is bringing a case before the Supreme Court for transgender bathroom rights this summer. I don't know. I'm just horrified by the attack on everyone. And I keep saying to my husband, I don't recognize this country. But then I think about things that my Black friends have said, and I'm like, but this is the country they've lived in all along.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, totally recognize this country.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
We're still doing the same shit we've been doing forever.
Yeah, that is absolutely the sad thing, is you're right. I mean, I don't want to recognize this country, but you're right. When I look deeper, I totally see it.
Yeah, the problem is probably us liberals, in that, you know, we really actually thought, hey, things are turning a corner, getting better. Look at all this stuff, and, you know, man, we're poised now to have, you know, if not utopia, something really close, right?
I think there's some very real truth in that. I mean, I think a lot of us, especially, and I'm going to say it, white liberals, I grew up completely unconscious. I mean, I thought that my family was kind of racist, and I was grossed out by some of the things that came out of their mouths, but I didn't realize that they were representative of the greater whole. I actually, in my stupid, comfortable head, thought that things were way better than they actually are.
Yep. And we were wrong.
Yeah. So now how do we rebuild? I don't know. I'm interested to see what Tom Perez and Keith Ellison are talking about. I don't know that they have the ability to rebuild, but...
I don't know that the Dems have the ability to rebuild in any particular direction. They may actually turn a corner just based on, you know, fear and loathing for the other side. And they may not.
There are a lot of pissed off progressives still.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and you know, this actually kind of brings up another thing, and we're pretty broad ranging today, but whatever. So one of the things that I've seen that's been really kind of dismal for me to recognize is that we really are on the lib side, on the progressive side, we're really, really good at saying, you don't sound exactly the way I sound, therefore I'm not going to work with you.
Yeah.
You are an asshole and you are not woke, therefore I am not going to work with you. And we have got to stop that. I mean,
I completely agree, and I've been calling for that for a long time. Fucking find the stuff that we have in common. Let's work with that.
No kidding. I mean, I see so many people who are so close in terms of the way that they see things, and who, if they form an alliance, could really make a difference. But, you know, there's that one thing that they see differently, and they completely vilify one another for that difference and don't look at their commonalities. And this is so happy.
Yep.
Maybe we should talk about vaginas now.
Sure, absolutely. So,
have you said everything you want to say?
Yeah, I have. Let me read this. Let me start this off, right?
Okay.
Have you ever woke up with your lips stuck together? It didn't hurt, and it was kind of fun. All you had to do was wet your lips from the inside with saliva, and they became unstuck. That is the principle behind Menendez and a revolutionary, safer solution for women to control their periods without the need for tampons, pads, vag cups, or period panties. Menendez, okay.
Yeah, how are you saying his name? Menendez, but it's Menendez. It's actually not his name.
Of course.
So, of course, it's a play on the word menses.
Right.
It's not but actually it's the guy's name. It's the name of his company, but go ahead.
Right, and it's, yeah, Menendez.
Right, and I think that's perfect, right? So it's not Menses, it's Men Says. It's
says,
men
right.
Says how to manage
exactly.
Your period.
Because you know, listening to me read this makes you, the women, go, oh yeah, it's a man talking. He knows what the fuck he's talking about. But anyway, Menses is a natural combination of amino acids and oil in a lipstick applicator that is applied to the lips down under during the period. It causes them to stick together strong enough to prevent leakage. That is until the user urinates. The urine instantly unsticks the labia and allows everything to wash out into the toilet. Wipe and reapply Menses lipstick. Clean, safe, secure, and done. Coming soon to a store near you.
So needless to say, there was a little bit of consternation among myself and my friends when we saw this.
I love this article too, right? And obviously male doctor in Kansas came up with this shit. Of course, it would have to be.
So I first became aware of it when people were posting on Facebook. And I couldn't believe it was real. And then, of course, I looked it up and found out it was real. So you're absolutely right. This guy, let me get my notes because I actually took some notes on him today. Is
Daniel Dobbs,
right.
Wichita chiropractor and proud creator of Menses.
And we're going to say it the way it really should be said, which is exactly that, right?
Right.
So this guy actually has a patent on this product already. Now, I'm not sure if it's going to have to go through the FDA. Interestingly enough, because tampons are inserted internally, they have to go through the FDA as medical devices. That's how they're regulated. I don't know if this is going to have to be regulated as a medical device or not.
What about pads? Are they
pads are not regulated as medical devices
because they're simpler and not inserted.
Bingo, because they're not inserted. I think that's the thing that makes the difference. But this, I mean, you're actually gluing two body parts together, so. Right?
Sorry, bad timing on my part. I just went for the coffee.
So the way this works is, so there are two sets of labia. There are the labia majora, which are the larger external lips that come together that protect the open, that protect the vagina, which is the open, the, not the opening, but the, God, for lack of a better description, the tube or the tunnel itself, right? And then the labia majora are smaller, although they can sometimes be, they're thinner. They tend to be smaller, but they can actually protrude from the labia minora. And the whole point of this is that the labia minora, the internal lips, are the ones that you're gluing together. And let me tell you, those are a heck of a lot of fragile tissue.
Yeah.
The labia majora are much tougher tissue. Anyway, so you're gluing those together, and supposedly that is holding in all menstrual blood. So, but what I really want to share with you is this guy's response, a couple of his responses when he started getting flack on social media, when this kind of started to become a thing. So this was his response. And so people have probably heard part of the response. I actually found his whole response to a woman on Facebook, and I was horrified. And this was posted in Teen Vogue, of all places, and you and I were kind of joking, but Teen Vogue is actually doing some pretty meaningful reporting right now. So keep an eye on them.
We'll talk about them in a second.
This is how he responded to a woman who dissed him on Facebook. "Yes, I am a man, and you as a woman should have come up with a better solution than diapers and plugs, but you didn't. Reason being, women are focused on and distracted by your period 25% of the time, making them far less productive than they could be. Women tend to be more..." It gets better. Women tend to be more creative than men, but their periods stifle them and play with their heads. "You said that menses sounds incredibly awful. It's not. Even though women are secretive and try to hide the fact that periods can be gross, crusty, smelly, and incredibly awful, the period itself is none of that, but rather the diapers women are forced to accept are gross, and women have been duped into thinking they're wonderful. My dream is to have women free of the distractions, the psychological issues that goes along with their periods, and see what they develop."
Okay, much...
So what I get out of that is A, we're gross. B, we're totally distracted by our periods. C, therefore, we are completely non-productive citizens. So I don't know.
I mean, he's apparently been married for 30 years, and maybe his wife is truly out of commission 1 month or 1 week every month.
That woman needs a divorce and some Prozac.
Yeah. I'm just trying not to speculate too much. But so
I'll tell you his other thing. So he was actually interviewed by Forbes after that response came out. And Forbes was like, you know, "You've gotten some tremendous backlash from this. What's going on?" And his response was that the cause of his bad press was lesbians. And the quote is... The quote is, "A lot of the LGBT community, lesbians in particular, are furious at me because I'm a white straight man." No, motherfucker, we're furious at you because you're mansplaining. And because you've never had a period. And because you're telling us to glue our vaginas shut, which is just another way of telling us to shut our mouths so you don't have to listen to us because we're gross and out of control and outrageous. Ugh!
Exactly. And I'm not sure that the guy understands how all of it works on top of that.
Right. I mean, that's the other thing, because he's talking about the urethra, which produces urine, and the vagina, from whence menstrual blood comes, as basically the same organ having the same function.
Right.
So, and actually, I found a response from a physician who works with... the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in the UK. And she said that if this does make it to market, she's extremely concerned and recommends against using it because it could cause vaginal dryness, irritation of the vulva, vagina, or urethra, or infection.
Oh, yeah.
So there you have a response from a real doctor who knows how women's parts works and who, by the way, is female and actually has the same genitalia.
Jen Gunder, San Francisco OBGYN, points out that reapplying some kind of glue over and over again can cause abrasions, even potentially causing it to grow together and require surgical separation.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. I mean, that's true.
I think probably it would be... way more, you would have to do that a lot to start to get that problem. But
you have to have a lot of tissue damage and scarring. But female
infants. The abrasion.
Right.
The abrasions thing, right?
And female infants can actually have labia that adhere together that need to be treated for them to grow apart and develop properly. So I could totally see that with scarring and trauma and abrasion, that could happen in reverse.
Yep. And. I don't know who created the first tampon, but I do know who created the industry, and that was white men. So, sir, if you feel that women, particularly lesbians, are angry at you because you're a white male, well,
Probably.
probably. But it's not just the lesbian, sir.
Right. I mean, I'm not a lesbian. Not that that's a bad thing. Not that I'm saying I wouldn't. I mean, people have called me a lesbian, and that's fine. They can think whatever the fuck they want. But
God, we are
I'm
such a
not.
couple of liberals
I'm
stumbling over trying to be nice and everything.
not a lesbian, and I'm pissed at this guy. That's what I'm trying to
Yeah.
say. So no, sir,
Exactly.
it's not just the LGBT community. It's also people like me who have pretty plain and simple lives in rural America who think you're a fucktard.
Yeah. Complete and total fucktard. Oh, but this story gets even better though. That's right, because I forgot about this. This is the part that really got me the other day when I
Uh-oh. So
first
I'm
saw it.
tapped out. You gotta tell me, man.
So, Dobbs claims his reading pointed him to the idea that at one point in history, women's bodies naturally produced a substance similar to his glue,
Oh
because
my
he could find
God.
no mention of how women prior to 200 years ago dealt with their flow.
I will tell you, motherfucker, they stuffed
Okay.
moss and sponges up their vaginas. Oh my God.
I'm not
Oh.
done yet. I am a
Sorry,
doctor
sorry,
and I
sorry.
understand human anatomy, he said. I see how women are designed. I really believe women's bodies were functioning this way in years past. Also, apparently, from the same school of being able to just shut down that rape
I was
thing.
exactly thinking about what fucking church
Yeah.
do you think he goes to? I bet you he's got tickets to Ken Ham's Creation
Jesus.
Funhouse.
Asked to provide evidence of such ancient women with magically self-sealing genitalia, he said he has not seen any scientific research suggesting as much.
But that's
And he is,
okay. Meh, science.
and of course, he is wrong that there is no evidence on how women dealt with their periods in history. In fact, the evidence is substantive. In ancient Rome, for one, women wore wool tampons soaked in opium. That, by the way, sounds like an actually pretty good
I
idea.
know. Actually, I saw somebody post a similar thing on Facebook, and I was like, sign me up.
So anyway, it has not been manufactured. He's currently seeking developers and investors. Okay, developers would indicate that they have not even come up with the glue to
No,
hold to.
he actually did say that that it does exist and a few women have tried it, but he didn't say anything about their responses to trying it.
He said women he's spoken to have expressed enthusiasm, including his daughter who has tested it out.
Oh
Okay,
my
well.
God. Okay, what kind of I mean, I'm all about open communication in families, right? But what kind of father says, "Hey, I invented this glue stick so you can glue your labia together. Would you try it out for me and give me a product review?"
I am not insane, he told Gizmodo. Men just aren't allowed to have opinions on these things. I would actually agree, and
I
they
was
probably
just gonna say,
shouldn't,
damn fucking straight.
but if women look at what I'm doing, I have a really elegant solution here.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I mean, seriously, why bother with glue? Why not just go to duct tape, right? Duct tape seals everything.
You're right. Yeah, I
You
don't
know,
know, man.
get every woman a Brazilian and a roll of duct tape. Problem solved.
There you go. You need to start seeking investors, Todd. I'm sure you can get a patent. This guy's already gotten a patent.
It can't be duct tape. It has to be
Fucked
pussy
tape.
tape. Oh, and please don't send any hate mail, because if you don't understand that this is totally insane and I am just making this shit up. I mean, about the duct tape and the Brazilian. If you really got a problem with that, that's Brian Williams at
He
MSNBC.
has a new show on MSNBC, The 11th Hour. So, hate mail, care of Brian Williams, MSNBC, The 11th Hour. I'm a big fan.
All right, so We have successfully, actually.
Wasted away yet another hour. I'm so glad you suggested podcasting this, because I was so horrified when I saw it, and I knew it would be really fun to basically pick this bastard apart for a little while.
Oh my god, right? I mean, this is nuts.
Well, you know, and I mean, really, and I'm going to be like the liberal feminist who makes people say, you take things too seriously, but this really is fucking misogyny in a tube. Yeah. This is misogyny in a lipstick tube.
Absolutely.
You know, I just...
I
think it's inconvenient when guys who have BPH start leaking urine from their penises. Maybe you guys need to glue the urinary meatus shut. I'll lend you my badge stick, okay?
Exactly. God. This is all... And this is misogyny, but it's also deeper than that, although... See if I can get this correlation to make sense. It also all goes to, if you're not perfect...
Right.
100% of the time, then what value do you have? And that, while I mean, it is so clearly directed at women so successfully, it's also really directed at men.
Oh, it's absolutely pervasive throughout our culture. I agree.
Yeah. You know, in the whole movement for the last 15 years, where these companies have realized they've sold about as many products as they can sell to women as they're going to. So they've been slowly really ratcheting it up with sales to men.
Right. So now they're going to start undermining men and making you guys feel more uncomfortable in your skins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe we deserve, because we've been a bunch of misogynist motherfuckers for so long, but still.
Well, and now I'm going to play the sweetness and light liberal, right? No, I want us all to be in a place where you don't hate yourself and I don't hate myself, and I don't feel like I have to buy a glue stick for my twat.
Or any other part of my body.
Right.
Yep.
I think this guy gets the number one fuck that guy in a very long time.
No doubt, because...
I mean, we've got like 3 years and 11 months of Donald Trump left, so I don't want to say the biggest fuck that guy ever.
Nah, not even close to ever, right? Probably not even close to, you know, by the time this podcast airs. But
at
for
the
this
rate
moment,
that the fire hose has been.
At this moment in time, though, this guy is a complete and total douchebag.
Yes. And I would highly encourage people to find the article on Teen Vogue. Who apparently, there is a 16-year-old journalist at Teen Vogue who is partially responsible for the downfall of Milo Yiannopoulos, which I need to read that article. I've skimmed past it a few times, but I need to stop and look at that.
Apparently, Milo really did answer the line of, what is too far? Right, because, I mean, we weren't sure that we saw a bottom there, but apparently bottom is underage sex.
Pussy grabbing, not too far.
Right.
But, you know, sorry, that's my messenger. Pussy grabbing, not too far, but apparently pederasty, too far.
Yeah, so, okay, well, you know. At least we know. Right.
Although credit to a really good friend of mine who is a therapist who actually is leading a trans-positive group in Alaska right now. She's doing group therapy with these folks. Maybe group therapy's not right. She's doing a support group with trans people in Alaska. Credit to her. She actually pointed out that Milo Yiannopoulos is a survivor of sexual assault, a survivor of sex abuse as a kid, and he's somehow in his own sick brain making it all okay.
Right. The dude seriously got issues.
Yeah.
The problem is that his issues were getting into the mainstream.
Right. And I have got to tell you, okay, I know we've talked about Bill Maher on this program before. You know I like Bill Maher. The last 2 weeks, he has pissed me off. He gave Milo Yiannopoulos a forum Although his response was, I'm just letting him hang himself, basically.
Which is true.
And it is true. But he also had this atrocious Muslim woman on this week who voted for Donald Trump. And just listening to her, she was appalling because she's highly educated. She teaches at Georgetown. She has taught at Georgetown. She basically hid all of her racism and self-loathing behind compassion. And she actually dared to bring up the Buddha and the Buddha's insights on compassion. And I thought, I hate this woman.
Yeah.
So Bill is striking out with me right now with his conservative guests. I'm hoping that he steps up his game a little bit.
Well, and again, I think the biggest problem is that it is a format in which he's going to bring on two lefties and one conservative so that the lefties can beat the shit out of the conservative.
Right.
And I think that that format has run its course.
I think that he has more to say, and I think he could be a valuable part of the conversation, but I think he's got to step it up.
Oh, wait a second.
What?
We've got another tampon issue.
Stop the presses, everybody. It's another tampon issue. We're going to call this the tampon episode.
This is from, this is from Teen Vogue, but this is back in October. So it's a little bit old, but, meet Ryan Williams, or Tampon Boy, a self-identified minimalist who feels that tampons are a luxury item.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
People are saying tampons shouldn't be taxed because they are a necessity, but why can't those women just learn to control their bladders?
Right.
If they're going to bleed, then they should wait until they get to the toilet. It's all about self-control.
I'm actually pretty sure that this guy and Dr. Dops, I think that was his name, they're kind of from the same school of anatomy. Yeah, that guy got owned on Facebook. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he did, right? And yeah. So, yeah. It just shows how long it's been since I've been on Facebook. But, oh, my God. I'm just looking at this going, What the fuck? Why? Either you're a moron or you really just wanted to get crushed. I mean, you had some kind of masochistic need to get destroyed by the internet. What? God, maybe just what's wrong with people, man? It goes back, right? It goes all the way back to, I mean, it's biblical, right? That like women who are bleeding shouldn't be allowed in the house or something
right.
like that, right?
There's actually a great novel called The Red Tent that kind of explores that whole idea. Yeah, no, women who are menstruating have been in many cultures considered unclean. So this is just a modern equivalent, basically.
Now, when it's coming from straight guys like this, it's just the funniest thing in the world because you guys are bitching about the things you hate them. You're saying you hate this, but it's what you love the most. So, come on.
Oh, all right. Go ahead. Oh my God.
No, it's just, and I swear to God, right? People act like they've never changed a diaper. They've never picked up after their pets. Right. Like,
although maybe using that as an equivalence, maybe that's not quite.
No, it's
where
not,
we want to go.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay.
People act like what you were going back to earlier. Bodies have to be perfect, clean, streamlined. We're not allowed to bleed or sweat or shit.
Right. There we go.
You know, that's what these people, that's what people like these two men that you mentioned. Those are the realities that they live in. They're people like Donald Trump. I'm going to bring him up again, who say things like, oh, well, you know, once they're past 35, they're unfuckable.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's the kind of reality that people like that live in. And that's really sad. Because
yeah,
they're going to get old and they're going to get sick and they're going to die just like you and I are.
Yeah, some of them not soon enough.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we live in our bodies. We get it. We understand that people aren't perfect all the time. And I think that's a better way to live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, gah. Well, do you have any good news? Do you have any Hall of Honorable mention or anything like that? Come on, man. We got to lift it up.
Got to lift it up. I got nothing. I really do.
I got a couple of things.
Okay.
Okay, so there's going to be another big march on April 22nd, which is Earth Day, and it's the Science March. It's the march in support of science. So I'd really, really encourage people to find out if there are local marches where they are or if there are larger marches that they can make it to. Because the only way we're going to combat the kind of ignorance that Todd and I were just talking about is through science and through a good understanding of how bodies work and what it actually is to live in a flawed human body. Yeah. So, I would really like to encourage people to do that. Bill Nye is getting a new series on Netflix. The first season is getting dumped on Earth Day, so that would be a good thing for people to look at, too. And then I just wanted to share a podcast that I listened to that I actually should be kind of ashamed and embarrassed that I listened to this podcast, but it's really good.
Yeah.
It's called Missing Richard Simmons.
I've been hearing ads for it.
So, you know, for people who don't know, and I mean, I'm totally dating myself because Richard Simmons has been this kind of ever-present thing in the background of my life for all of my life. About 3 years ago, he just suddenly disappeared from public view. And this podcaster is a friend of his. He actually attended exercise classes at his tiny little one-room exercise place that he was still keeping going. It was the first place that he taught, and he would still go there and teach once a week up until he disappeared out of public view. This fellow knew him from there. They became friends, and this podcaster is now basically trying to figure out what happened. But the thing that's also really interesting is that he really talks about Richard as a person and talks about cool stuff that he's done and things that he has done just out of kindness to be supportive to people. I mean, I've listened to the first two episodes. Those are the ones that have dropped so far. And I really loved it. So, you know, it's kind of voyeuristic, but I really loved it. So if you're looking for something that's not political, that's just good distraction, and it's kind of sad and heartwarming at the same time, Missing Richard Simmons. It's a good podcast.
Excellent. I will have to take that up. I've been dumping a bunch of podcasts.
I'm kind of at the point with podcasting that I'm at. Not our podcasts, of course. Our podcasts are cool.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm kind of at the point where I don't listen to the Young Turks right now because it's too much. I don't listen to Ring of Fire. I don't listen to stuff like that because it's too much. I listen to Democracy Now! A couple of times a week. I listen to Trumpcast. But I'm being pretty selective about what I'm listening to also.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's, otherwise it's just overload.
Yeah, and it's all overload right now.
It's all overload. Overload right now. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, just to end this off, I'm just pulling up the news feed. And, oh, that's right. Trump is refusing to go to the White House press correspondence dinner.
Which I actually think could make for a really amusing press correspondence dinner. If he was still planning on going, I would encourage the press to boycott. But now I'm kind of interested to see what they come up with.
Oh, yeah. No, I think they absolutely should go forward with it and, you know, maybe even hire somebody to stand in for Donald Trump.
There's some discussion that they should have Alec Baldwin stand in for Donald Trump.
Kind of awesome.
Yeah, it'd be pretty fun.
Also, though, just because, you know, the news isn't all important or anything, Meryl Streep is slamming Karl Lagerfeld for lying about her dress, whatever that's all about.
Oh, my God. Because that's critical.
Critical.
She probably forgot to glue both of her, all three of her sets of lips together, so.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Upper and lower. Meryl, yeah. Come on, sister.
Okay. And of course, for some reason, Rachel Dozal is in the news again.
Who is that?
She was the white gal in Oregon who was claiming to be African American.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Remember. apparently she's jobless and on the verge of being homeless.
That's sad. There are a lot of people facing that.
And I'm sure if you actually looked into her story, there's probably all kinds of past injuries and hurts and other kinds of problems and stuff that obviously have not been covered, but probably not going to spend any time worrying about it. All right, let's close this.
All right, I have a quote from Sandman.
Good.
And this is actually Delirium speaking. Our existence deforms the universe. That's responsibility.
And on that note, have a good week.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care. Every good woman lies a chain.